It certainly is good to see everyone this morning. We're very happy for your presence, especially those who are visiting with us. We already have had a very fine worship service. I'd like to continue that worship service right now by reading a couple of verses from Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. In Colossians 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth." Setting our mind on things above, looking heavenward, and contemplating those things that are above. That's hard for us sometimes. It's hard for us sometimes even physically to look up for long periods of time. To go outside and look up into the sky. We're in this kind of body where our eyes look out horizontally and we kind of look at things here on this level. That's the natural posture that we have. We have to make ourselves look upward to look up at the sky. Sometimes the sun's too bright. We just can't gaze upward too long. We avert our eyes back downward to this level. Or even if, say, we go out sometime during the evening and we look up into that starry sky, after a while, our neck gets sore. And our gaze comes back down to this level. And that physically sort of illustrates kind of the problem we have on a spiritual level. Looking upward, looking heavenward on a spiritual level, in a spiritual context. We sometimes have difficulty doing that. But I want to suggest to you this morning, as we think about what the Apostle Paul says here, that if we will look upward, look heavenward, and set our minds heavenward, it will absolutely change the perspective with which we view the things of this life. May I suggest to you this morning that when we look heavenward, first of all, that's when we can handle the injustices that occur in this life. When I take the time to look up and to think about God and to think about the things of heaven, it changes my perspective about the things that are going on in this world that are so inequitable, things that are so unjust, so unfair. In fact, when we just look at this level, if we just look horizontally, what we see is a world where wicked people prosper, where wicked people, the ones who defame the name of God, the ones who laud their immorality for public display, they're the ones who are the stars and the celebrities, and they're the ones that are looked up to as the famous people, not God's people, not the righteous people of God. They're unknown to this world. Those who are living lives of sin, they're the ones who are elected to political office. They're the ones who are in the history books. And yet those few people who are trying to do what is right, they're the ones who so often suffer in this life. They're the ones who are so often oppressed. They're the ones who so often are stricken with disease or with untimely deaths. Like even among our own family here at Valrico, you just see evidences of that kind of thing. Things that just cry out as unfair and unjust. And we look at the world and we look at so many people out there in this world who have no concern for the things of God, and they seem to be prospering. And that's exactly what the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 73. I want to read a few verses from this psalm. He says, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, but as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. Therefore his people return to this place, and waters of abundance are drunk by them. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. And then the psalmist immediately says this, if I had said this, that I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. When we look at this life and what's going on in this world without looking heavenward, it's bleak and it's hopeless and it's so unfair. And we're afflicted, and we see others who are afflicted, those who are trying to live righteously, and the wicked prosper. And yet, brethren, if we will look heavenward and just contemplate the God who dwells there, it reminds us that the wickedness of this world, it's not going to continue. In fact, it can't continue. Because the very nature of the being who is heavenward, his very nature cries out against this kind of injustice, against this kind of sinfulness. And in fact, the fact that we are made in God's image is the very reason why we have this sense of justice, why we have this sense of righteous indignation at the unfairness of this world when the wicked prosper. And so when we allow ourselves to gaze heavenward, what it does is it reminds us of the fact that that God in whose image we are made, he's the one who taught us about justice and righteousness. And if we feel this way, then he certainly does. And it will not continue. Indeed, he is going to come in judgment. And it will be in but a moment. And God is going to bring down all those who spurn his righteousness and mock his name and mock his son and do their thing instead of doing the things of God and run roughshod over the people of God. In a moment, everything is going to be rectified. And we're not going to see that if we look constantly at things on this earthly plateau. But if we will look heavenward, it will change our perspective on things. And that's what the psalmist was talking about here. I thought all of these things until I entered into your sanctuary. Brethren, when we look heavenward, that's when we're more attentive to our own behavior. That's how it is for me. when I look heavenward and think about that God up in heaven, and think about his attitude about sinfulness as we've just talked about, what it does is it makes me realize that that God of judgment and justice, he's a God who expects my behavior to be proper too. And it's so easy for us sometimes as God's people to point the finger at others and not realize that the same God of justice and fairness is also going to judge us and evaluate our behavior. And I'll tell you what, when I gaze heavenward, it causes me to change my perspective on a lot of things. It causes me to be more attentive to the things that I engage in, the things that I allow my mind to dwell on, the things that I practice. In fact, I think of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 2. In fact, I'd like to read a few verses here, even more than what I have up on the screen. In Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul was talking about the Jews who prided themselves on being the people of God and looked at the Gentiles as the objects of God's judicial wrath. And the Apostle Paul makes this statement to them. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same things yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." When I gaze heavenward, it makes me think about the God that I serve. And he's a God that hates sin and hates sin in the people out there in the world. But he hates sin in his own people too. And as Paul will go on to say in this very chapter, he is not a God who shows partiality. In fact, there is no partiality with God. He's not going to punish the wicked of the world and then his own people engage in the same kinds of things and he lets that go. Oh no. And so I tell you what, folks, we need to gaze heavenward. We need to make ourselves think about God and set our minds on those things above, because that's what's going to cause us to be more attentive to our own behavior. If we allow our gaze to be fixed down here on this earthly level, then we're going to see a bunch of people who, frankly, in a lot of things are a lot worse than we are. And we're going to allow ourselves to be deceived into thinking that, well, you know, I'm a lot better than they are, and yet there are things in our life that are the same nature as what they're doing that we kind of overlook, that we justify, we excuse. But when I look up to the God of heaven, I just can't do that as easily. Because like Isaiah, when Isaiah was confronted by the vision of God in Isaiah chapter 6, when we look heavenward and contemplate God, it causes us to immediately recoil in front of his righteousness and his purity. And compared to him, we are absolutely as blackened by sin as we can be. When we look heavenward, it makes us think about our own hearts and our own consciences. It makes us see those impurities that need to be removed. That's exactly what we need to be doing when we look heavenward. When I look heavenward, I remember also that this world, it's just temporary. It's passing away. everything in it right now, it's going to pass away. That's what 1 John says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and following. He says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. If I just fix my gaze on this earthly level, there's just a lot of things in this life that are very pleasurable. And they seem to be just available and continually available. But when I make myself look upward to the God of heaven and contemplate Him, I remember that He has warned me all these pleasures of life, they're all going to pass away. All those sinful things that grab my attention right now, all those things are going to be done away with. Every single one of them. And those people, those sinful people that I find to associate with, who support me in my sinfulness, and you can always find them. They're just here. There are tons of them. And those sinful people that support me in going after the lusts of my flesh or the lusts of my eyes, and they build up my ego and my vain pride and tell me all the things that I want to hear, they're out there. And those people, they're passing away too. They're going to be judged by God. And they're all part of this world. And this world and its lusts, it's all passing away. And I need to be reminded of that. And when I gaze heavenward, that's when I remember that. And all the distractions of this life, these cares and concerns that we have, if we just fix our gaze on this horizontal level, all those things that just pull us away from what's really of importance, it's all going to pass away. It's all temporary. It's just a shadow. It's just ephemeral. And it's going to all pass away. And it's when we look heavenward that we realize all of that. And we remember all of that. And what that says then to me is, why would I want to pursue things that are just a puff of smoke? And why would I want to follow after people who themselves are going to be judged by God? Why would I want to follow in their path and reap the same kind of judgment? And when I allow myself to look here on this level, I can forget all that. I can dismiss it from my mind. But if I'll make myself look heavenward, I just can't do that. No, heaven staring down at me just won't let me continue to deceive myself about. And all of these things of this world and all of the sinful people in this world, it's all passing away. And all of those lusts. And that's what God reminds me of when I look up at Him. And I'll tell you one more thing that happens when I look heavenward. I see my Savior there. I see my Savior who suffered and died for me. I want to go back to the passage with which we started this morning. Paul said, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Brethren, do you have an eye of faith? I know we have physical eyes, but do we have eyes of faith? Can we see things through the eyes of faith? How clear is our vision? When we gaze heavenward, we need to see Jesus seated at the throne of God, seated on the throne of God at His right hand. in all of His royal glory. Can you gaze heavenward and see Him there? With the eye of faith, don't you see Him? When we gaze heavenward and realize that Jesus is our King and He's seated at the right hand of God, then how can I possibly spurn any of His commandments? How can I look Him in the eye as I gaze heavenward and say to Him, I'm going to ignore this teaching. I'm going to ignore that teaching. How can I look at Him as He sits at the right hand of God on high and have the audacity to spurn His royal authority? How can I do that? If I lower my gaze and just think down here on the things of this earthly level, it's real easy. Because I'm dismissing Him from my thought. He's not in my view. If I just think about things from an earthly level, I don't have to think about Jesus and about His teaching. And I can think about what I want and what I deserve and all the things that I should have gotten in my life that I haven't been able to do and engage in. And I can think about all those things. But when I make myself look up in heaven and see Him seated at the right hand of God, I just can't think like that anymore. And I'll tell you the main reason why I can't. It isn't just His royal authority. It isn't just His royal majesty. It's that when I look at the hands of that King seated on that heavenly throne, I can see the scars from the nails in His hands. I can see them there. And when He raises His mighty scepter with all of His royal authority, I see the imprint of the crucifixion nail right there. And I remember that that's the King that I'm being called upon to serve. Not someone who can't relate to me. Not someone who doesn't understand me. Not someone who doesn't understand what suffering is. But someone who completely innocent and with no necessity at all, except just because He cared for me, He came to this earth and came down here and engaged in this life and ultimately allowed them to nail His body to that cross and suffer. And the only reason why He did that is for you and me. And when I just look at this earthly level, I can forget that for the moment. I can ignore that and push that from my mind. Make myself look heavenward. That's the one I see seated at the right hand of God, and I see His crucified body. And He's alive again now from the dead. But He went through all of that so that I could live again, so that I could be forgiven, so that I could one day be with Him forever. Not in this world that's passing away, but in that new world where righteousness dwells. That's what I see when I gaze heaven. How about you? May I urge us all this morning and throughout this week and throughout our lives, take the time to regularly stop and look upward and think about what you see and what you're reminded of and what's true when you look heavenward. It will absolutely change your perspective on life. It will change your life. Let's set our mind and our hearts on those things above. Is there someone here this morning that we can assist in rendering obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you an erring Christian? Can we pray for you and help you go to God in prayer for forgiveness? Are you someone who's never been baptized into Jesus Christ? Can we assist you in doing that? Whatever be your need, won't you come while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement?